today on Real Radio.
Is the Bible true or false? Well, we exactly don't know unless we test it. When God wants us to believe in him, he's inviting us to believe in him as we've applied logic and reason. That's why God gave the Old Testament. To look at it, to know it, to hear what's being said, to look at the claims, and then observe, does the actual facts of time and space bear up witness to the claim?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins He Is, a Christmas series celebrating the wonderful and unique attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great mystery of our faith, that in the beginning, Jesus Christ was the Word of God and always has been with God, yet he humbled himself by becoming a man whose virgin birth was announced by angels. And by dying on the cross, he brought hope to the nations and salvation to all who believe. Today, we'll consider who Jesus Christ is. Pastor Jack tells us that, first of all, he is eternal. Hebrews 13:8 proclaims him to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God who came to us in flesh, just as it was foretold in Genesis chapter 3, throughout the Psalms, and by the Old Testament Hebrew prophets. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Church, let's grab our Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Luke, as we stop and pause and consider Christmas. Book of Luke, chapter 2 this morning. We're going to carry on the theme of He Is. Ultimately, as the Bible says, He is God with us. A lot of people today want to debate and talk about who Jesus is. By the way, if you Google, don't do it now, you're studying the Bible. You do it later, it'll be there. But if you Google, for example, Jesus Christ, you will notice that in your search, what comes up first on your Google search are lies, bold-faced lies about who Jesus Christ is. And I don't know if you know this or not, a lot of young people, I don't know if they know this or not, but what pops up on the search doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. It's what pops on the search is either A, extremely popular, or B, people can buy that slot. Did you know that? And what has happened is what's right up top is purchased by two cults that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Right up front, Mormonism denies the deity of Jesus Christ. So Mormonism has a definition there on who is Jesus Christ on your Google search, and it completely undermines the deity of Jesus Christ. The second one is the Jehovah Witnesses, undermining the deity of Jesus Christ. And as you look at that, if you don't read the Bible and you read Google or you read Yahoo or somebody else, you'll come to the conclusion that Jesus is somebody very important, but not God. And today, all around the world is recognizing the birth of Jesus Christ. They may go through it in commercial ways, or they may pursue this regarding a happy greeting. It may be tradition, but the truth of the matter is, friends, that Jesus Christ is God. Not only God, the Bible says, but God with us. And that sets him apart from all others of all time. Jesus Christ, he is. So we're going to be looking this morning at our Christmas service regarding who Jesus Christ is. The fact of the matter is, the Christmas message demands that you and I recognize the existence of God. I don't know if you realize that or not. I don't know who would have a hard time with Christmas. Why would somebody be upset with Christmas? Well, I can conjure up one group of people who would want to get away from Christmas. If they can't successfully redefine it, they'd like to have it go away altogether, and that is somebody who does not believe in the existence of God. You say, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, the Bible announces that Christmas is that God has come to us. That's what it's all about. The Bible begins, by the way, with the obvious declaration, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. And that statement is bold, and that statement is clear. In the beginning, God. But are you aware of the fact that the Bible goes on to describe from Genesis chapter 1:1 all the way through to Revelation 22 who God is? And it's none other than the very Christmas Jesus that we worship at this time of the year. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. Let's all stand together as we read the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 together. Now look, I'm going to read out of the New King James Version Bible. You can follow along, and we'll look at it closely. Greatest story, greatest message, greatest announcement ever made. Luke 2, verse 6, it begins there, and so it was that while they were there, the days were completed or accomplished for her to be delivered, Mary. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, or angelic beings, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Father, we pray that this morning, more than ever, in an age, Lord, that we've never encountered before, in fact, it's quite possible that at a time that our world has never seen like it is today, that Christmas comes again. The announcement of Christmas, the message of Christmas, the reality of Christmas. And Lord, we pray that we would lovingly fight through all of the distractions, all of the reindeers, all of the Santa Claus, all of the packaging, all of the stuff, and get to the point of who Jesus Christ is, why he is, and to thank you, Almighty God, that Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bread of life, the living water, the light, the Lord of hosts. We thank you, Lord. So speak to us out of your word. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can take your seat this morning. And we are going to run, and I mean run at breakneck speed, like you out there shopping through the stores. We're going to go that fast this morning because I try to limit our Christmas message this morning to 5 points, then it became 6. So then I thought I'd round it off at 8, and then 8's close to 10. So I just wound up getting 10 of them and stopping there. He is Christmas. He is Christ. He is Jesus. Number one, mark it down. When we consider who Jesus Christ is and why this theme, the number one thing is this, that he is the eternal Jesus Christ. That the Jesus of the Bible, my friends, he is eternal. And I'm equipping you. I would like for you, I'm not joking, if you don't want to do this, write it down on a piece of paper, but I'd like you to write these 10 points down on your skin, preferably like you used to cheat on a test in school. You would write the answers on the palm of your hand. Well, I'm going to give you the answers up front for all of your divine meetings this week. Number one, you would write, he is, when we say Merry Christmas to people, we might want to remind them that he is the eternal Jesus Christ. What are we talking about when we speak about Jesus being eternal? Well, number one, we understand this, and we put forth this argument. Number one, the claim is made. The Bible says throughout the Bible that Jesus Christ is eternal. He's eternal. So listen, as a skeptic, because that's who you're going to encounter this week during Christmas, are skeptics. Number one, the Bible makes the bold-faced claim, just like it does in Genesis 1, in the beginning God. The Bible says, in the beginning, we understand that God is the creator, and that person we'll see in a moment is Jesus Christ. And the bold statement is that he's eternal. The Bible says Jesus is eternal. I'm going to give you a couple of verses in a moment, but mark that down. The argument is, the claim is, he's eternal. So the claim is made. The second thing is that the claim is to be observed. Does the Bible know anything about Jesus Christ being eternal? The claim is made. You and I can tell our friends and family today, we worship Jesus Christ. He's eternal. But they might just blow you off. So is the claim, and can the claim be observed? Well, what does that mean, Jack, observed? Well, that means that you can open up the Bible and you can put the claim to the test. You can look at ancient prophecies before Jesus was ever born that announced that he is eternal. Is the Bible true or false? Well, we exactly don't know unless we test it. When God wants us to believe in him, he's inviting us to believe in him as we've applied logic and reason. That's why God gave the Old Testament. To look at it, to know it, to hear what's being said, to look at the claims, and then observe, does the actual facts of time and space bear up witness to the claim? Yes, the Bible says of itself, these truths can be observed. Jesus said, everything I've said to you, and I've said them to you in advance so that you might know that I'm he when they come to pass. The next argument regarding the eternal state of Christ is the observation able to be tested against the claims? Yes, Bible open, reality checked. Bible open, I love this, watch. Bible open, somebody might say, that's a religious book. Bible open, but then go to the encyclopedias. Bible open, then go to history. Bible open, then go to the museums of what God has done. God says, but what happens? Because God has said, God says he keeps his word and he reveals to us his truth. So in that sense, true now, truly, when God says something, is it scientifically observable? Is the claim tested and can it be proven? The Bible says yes to that. History says yes to that. I thank God that our God invites us to understand that Jesus Christ, he is eternal. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, that is a beautiful statement, but it's more than beautiful. It is a declaration, Hebrews 13, 8, that God in Christ Jesus is immutable. That means he never changes. He's always the same. Boy, aren't you glad about that? The world's nuts, people. The world's crazy. I'm so grateful that I get to tie my hope and my faith and my strength and my eternity. Listen, we can tie our present existence to God. He's immovable. Are you connected to him? Have you put your faith in him? Listen, he said if you trust in him, you'll never perish but have everlasting life. That's eternal. You hang out with Jesus, you'll live forever. Know him. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us, but you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of villages of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me. God is speaking through the prophet Micah, speaking about someone. The one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth, that is existence, are from old, or is from old, from everlasting. The baby born in Bethlehem is eternal. And I want to tell you this morning that as big as Genesis chapter 1 and that great declaration of creation and creation's designer is, as big as Psalm 19 is that says the heavens declare the glory of God, as big as Exodus 14 is that God parted the Red Sea to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. The greatest thing of all that trumps all of it, is the fact that the Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 4, that when the fullness of time had come, this is God's commentary on Christmas, that when the fullness, or at just the right time, when it had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, Jesus came. I believe the greatest miracle of all is that your Savior, your Messiah, came into the world. He's eternal, which leads us to this next, I have to confess, absolute, bizarre, amazing declaration of God. You know, C.S. Lewis said he became a Christian. C.S. Lewis was an atheist. Did you know that? C.S. Lewis, after studying all the religions of the world, said that he had to become a Christian because no man could have thought this up on their own. And this is one of those amazing things. That number two, he is the incarnate Jesus Christ. The incarnate, the word incarnate, to become flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I were born into this world and we had no say about it. You were born black or white, red or yellow skinned. You were born whatever race you were born into whatever culture you were born into, and you and I had nothing to say about it. Because we're humans. We're mere humans. That's all. That's it. Yes, created in the image of God, but humans. No choice. We were brought in. We were born at a time into a family. It's the way that it is. Not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal God, according to the Bible, and he came into this world, watch, incarnate. He put on himself human skin. He came not like you and I came. Yes, the vehicle the same, the womb the same, the delivery the same. But he, being eternal, chose to take on human flesh. And in that is the greatest mystery of all as we consider Christmas. God could have saved us anyway. But apparently, according to God in his wisdom, the Savior had to become incarnate. There is no greater message than the gospel of the Bible in all of the world. Whatever direction you point your Bible in, it's the direction that brings hope to the issues of life. God has designed it that way. There's this great exceptionalism to the gospel that is beyond, what's the word, transcendency? Again, with Lewis believing, C.S. Lewis saying that no man could have thought this up. God brought it down. God brought us the message. The exceptionalism of the gospel is amazing that God has come to us. John chapter 1 begins with verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. What is that? Well, remember Genesis 1, in the beginning of the physical universe being made? Who was there in the beginning according to John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word. It means that the Word was already there before the physical universe came into existence. Notice in your Bible. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Pausing for effect. Let that sink in. Marinate in that for a moment. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word, look at verse 14. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled, is the word. Dwelt, pitched his tent. Came to us to live like us, among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and lived among us, says the Bible. And that Word was at the beginning of the creation of God. The Word was there. Now you hang on, you listen carefully. You're going to learn more about who this Word is and his eternal state. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man. Pause right there, as a human. This is a big deal. Well, I don't know if Jesus is a big deal. You better rethink your opinion there, buddy, because the Bible says, and being found in appearance as a man. What does that mean? It means every one of us, we have no choice but to be found as in the appearance of a man. Mankind, you and I, male, female, we are humans and we are stuck with it. God came. Remember, God is spirit. He's spirit. He came and he, listen, appeared to us in humanity. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. A lot of people died on the cross. Everybody dies. Some way, shape, or form, everyone dies. God came. Listen, Christmas is God came to earth to die. The baby born in Bethlehem was the man that was to die on the cross in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ came to die. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I love this. I love this verse just because the graphic nature of it. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without question. Some of your Bibles read, without debate. In other words, don't waste your time. This is the great mystery of our faith. Number one, Christ was revealed in a human body. Number two, vindicated by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit bore witness of all that Jesus said and did. Third, he was seen by angels. And you hear me say this every year at Christmas time. The word seen in the Greek is to gawk, to be wide-eyed, to be mouth open. Angels, which I think are very hard to impress, at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us here that he was seen by angels, gawked at by angels. A lot of scholars believe, and I agree with them, a lot of scholars believe that because of the nature of Jesus Christ being God and all in eternity, and based upon scripture where angels appear before God, they veil their body and they veil their face with their wings. Did you know that? That when they appear before God, they're veiled. that the reason why angels got at the birth of Jesus Christ, because it was not only the first time that God had ever entered the world through a virgin, as you and I have been born into this world in flesh, but that they got to see their Savior, as it were, face to face. Their Creator, I should say, not their Savior. They saw their Creator face to face. Imagine, what if that's true? What if angels' first revelation of their Creator that they can see face to face is Him as a man? I find that extremely provocative and exciting. Can't prove it, sounds good, could be, but wow, they gawked. Angels, wide-eyed and wide-mouthed. Number four, He was announced among the nations, preached. Some of your Bibles say preached among the nations. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. Right now still, with all of the violence that's going on in the world today, Jesus is being preached. That's the way it's going to be. Number six, He was believed on throughout the world. Or five, excuse me, believed on in the world, throughout the world. Do you believe in Jesus Christ this morning? You join billions of people around the world throughout history. And number six, He was taken up into heaven, taken back. The word implies He was taken back. I like that. He came and He went back. The Christmas hymn, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." I want you to consider the doctrine of the Christmas hymn. I'll point out a few more times a Christmas hymn in our message. The fourth line of "O Come, All Ye Faithful" is, "Yea, Lord, we greet Thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to Thee be glory given." Listen, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. What a statement that is. Number three, He is the prophetic Jesus Christ. The Jesus of Christmas is the prophetic Jesus Christ. He is the God who alone has told us the future in advance. No other book, I tell you this over and over again, 27% of your Bible is of prophetic nature. No other book of religious authorship in the world throughout history is a prophetic book except your Bible. God's the only one who can tell the future in advance. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Revelation 19:10, He is the very spirit of prophecy. But Jesus Christ, He's the prophetic Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible tells us, and this is prophecy. A lot of people don't like prophecy. Somebody communicated to me recently that they stopped coming to this church here because they said they don't like to hear about Bible prophecy. Did you know Bible prophecy is the very sole doctrine alone that proves the existence of God? Did you know that? Did you know you can prove the existence of God scientifically through the doctrine of prophecy? Did you know that only through Bible prophecy can you confirm and make the statement that God's word is without error? Outside of that, you have no ability. Did you know that? I just want to encourage you, without the knowledge of Bible prophecy, you're going to be deceived. That's why all the cults can't prophesy. Did you know that? None of the cults have got the guts to write down or issue forth a prophecy because they're wrong every time. God's never wrong. And you can prove it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a Christmas season message called "He Is." Thanks for taking the time to listen today. There is no greater Christmas message than the gospel. And you are sure to find hope for any issue in your life through Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in a Christmas series called "He Is." It's a series that looks at the Christmas story through Old Testament prophecy and New Testament scripture. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're familiar with Pastor Jack, you know that he picks out a book of the month, a great suggestion for you to read. And this one, being the end of the year, is the New King James Version 1-Year Bible. It's this month's book of the month. Go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and pick up the book of the month, the New King James Version 1-Year Bible. Let's get through the Bible in 1 year all together. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.